This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Well, like many Americans, author Lisa London grew up with limited knowledge of what happened in Nazi Germany during World War II. So when she began talking with her neighbor, Hilda Sensale, she was surprised to discover stories about that time period from the perspective of a German youth. Lisa heard Hilda's memories, and she thought this could be the basis of a coming-of-age book. So she began writing her debut novel, Darker the Night, and used Hilda's experiences as inspiration for her characters. Lisa London joins me in the studio now. Hello, Lisa. Good to have you here.
Hi, Frank.
And also Hilda Sensale joins us from her home in Moorhead City. Hello, Lisa. Hilda, I should say.
Hello, everybody.
Good to have you here. So, Lisa, tell us how you came to know Hilda and about your initial conversations.
Well, we had bought a place down in Moorhead City as a vacation home, and Hilda was my next-door neighbor. And through the just walking in the yard and chatting and all that, I came to know that she was a German war bride. And then every so often, she'd throw out these great little stories. And after a while, I finally turned to her and said, you've got to write some of these down. Or better yet, can I take them and fictionalize them?
Hilda, how long did you live in Germany?
I was born there in 1926, and I came to the States in 1947.
So you lived there quite a while, and you grew up, and of course you grew up under the Third Reich. You were there while
right.
that was happening.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about your conversations, Lisa, the particular story about your grandmother's tablecloth.
Well, so after I had been chatting with Hilda, not really talking about a book, but just all of her memories, I went home to Kansas, where I grew up, and was helping my grandmother box up her house. She was finally, at the age of 99, going to move into assisted living. And all the other grandchildren had already gotten there. And so she only had this, like, stack of linens left, and one of them was just gorgeous, but hardly looked used. I was like, Granny, I've never seen you use this tablecloth. And she just got this sad look on her face and said, oh, my brother Bud brought it back from Germany. He said he took it off a German family, and it made me cry every time I thought of that poor German family with a bare table. And so I told her about my new friend, Hilda, who was grown up in Germany in that time frame. So she said, well, I want you to take that tablecloth back to Hilda. I'd like it to go back to a German family. So when I went back and I showed it to Hilda, she said, oh, no, please tell your grandmother that her brother probably helped a family because we were starving and we were trading food and anything we could for food. And so when I told Granny that, that just made her day. But on top of that, that's made me realize how little I knew about the German civilians. And that's where I thought it would be so interesting to have a story from such a fresh perspective.
Hilda, were you cautious about the curiosity of Americans about your growing up in Germany at that time? Were you? Did it ever give you a sense of anxiety about talking about those stories?
No. I felt, I had done nothing wrong. And it was just, I was born in Germany, and therefore I had to live through the period of the war, and actually growing up before the war, and then through the war. But it was just what had happened to me, and I had met a very nice American afterwards, and who brought me to the United States.
So, Lisa, when did you then get the idea? I mean, obviously, your first thought is you got to write a book, right? You talk to Hilda, you got to write a book. And then you think, oh, wait, Lisa, you got to write a book. When did that occur to you?
Well, about that time frame, it was just too good a story not to write. And I had already written several books, but they were nonfiction accounting books. So it was kind of one of these, okay, now I'm jumping into a novel. That's a whole different ballgame. But I have a phenomenal editor, Susan Zapal, who was helping me walk with that. But also, it just the more I would sit down and talk to Hilda, so we'd go sit on my screen porch and watch the coast go by, watch the boats go by and say, okay, Hilda, just tell me some more stories. And the plot just worked, you know, the story just came.
Well, Hilda, you were actually a member of the Hitler Youth, right?
Well, it's like everybody else.
Sure. I mean, that's part of what you did. You could not be a member if you were young and in Germany. And again, you know, you're obviously, as a young person, you're not sort of aware of being any part of any kind of global project. You're a child and you're growing up in this place. What was that like?
Well, I was growing up in a small town for about 3,000 people. And everybody took care of themselves, and everybody was friendly, and we were not exposed to anything of the war, you know, during the first years of growing up. So there really was nothing that would be scaring me about the whole thing, because in the small village, there was no pressure of any political thing. And it was only in the beginning of the Hitler regime, naturally. So the one thing that we had noticed is that all of a sudden there weren't any more unemployed people standing in line to get their extra pay or something to living expenses. And that was a good sign. So there was nothing asked of us to do except we would get together, you know, as children, play around or climb in the mountains and climb up on the rocks and had a good time.
So, Lisa, what part did Hilda's stories play in the construction of the novel? Did you, how did you construct the novel?
Oh, well, I laugh that my dedication is my way of keeping Hilda from getting upset with me. So the dedication reads, this following is a work of fiction inspired by the experiences of a remarkable woman, Hilda Sensale. The courageous acts are hers. The others were conceived in my imagination. So I want you, if you read the book, to think about anytime she does something brave and wonderful, that's her real story. Anytime she does something stupid, just assume I made that part
that
up.
You, well, let's get a sample of some of that today, right now, if you wouldn't mind. If you could read for us, and then we'll sort it out.
Okay, fair enough. The smell of gunfire, smoke, and oil filled the air. Hetty wanted to run away. However, fear and the spectacle unfolding in front of her kept her glued in place. Leading the tanks on foot was an officer. The tall man reeked of importance, not at all diminished by the size of the tank behind him. Wearing riding boots and a helmet, he carried two pistols by his side, one in each hand. His dark sunglasses masked his eyes. She couldn't tell where he was looking. Signaling the tanks to stop, his resonant voice called out in English, "Any German soldiers in the village?" From the top of the first tank, someone shouted in broken German, "Wo sind die deutschen Soldaten?" "You speak English," Uncle Markle whispered. "You're in uniform. Go talk to them." He shoved Hetty towards the enemy. Stumbling in front of the intimidating figure in sunglasses, her voice disappeared as she struggled to recall her high school English. The pistols and several rifles pointed directly at her did not help. "No, no German soldiers in the village," finally squeaked past her constricted throat as she waved her arms back and forth.
Lisa London reading from her debut novel, Darker the Night, based loosely on the stories of her neighbor when she's down in Moorhead City, Hilda Sensale, who is also on the line with us now. How much of that story was your story? That's a story about American troops coming into a town, Hilda's character being pushed in front of them because she can speak English. How much of that really happened, Hilda?
It happened just the way we talked it. We said it.
So that was really your story, huh?
It was my story. I mean, Lisa had also, in the beginning, she said, "Oh, other people have told it to me, too. Why don't you write about this?" And I said, "Well, I don't think I'm a very good writer, and so I don't know." And eventually, you know, I was being pushed, so I wrote some notes. But, I mean, I as I said, and I repeat, I am not a writer. So it was fractured sentences, fractured ideas, and then Lisa was the one that put everything together. And, of course, she has the knowledge and the knack of writing and putting it in a presentation that is good for everyone.
Well, tell us more about that day for you when the American troops came through town. What was going on? What was going through your mind? And then suddenly, having to act as translator, I'm guessing there was a lot of talk in town either before that or on that day that that arrived. What was that day like?
Well, this actually was a small town. You know, this was not the large town where I came from. But we had heard, naturally, the shooting, and which was going on the whole day. The Americans were outside already. We knew exactly that they were coming. And so the one thing that we did was we put a white sheet on a bean pole and put it up. So we figured, well, if they can see this, then they can see that there is no danger, that no resistance, I would say. And they knew that there was no one left anymore because the Germans had left, the last Germans had left the night before, and the only thing they left behind was their dead comrades because the Red Cross was picking them up. Mm-hmm. And people had always said, my mother actually had said to me before, because she lived in the First World War, naturally, and had seen occupation and had seen Americans. And she said, I don't think that they're going to do anything to you as a person. So we were free. We accept yeah. that we had a curfew. We had to be in the houses. And after they had thrown us out of our house over there at my aunt's house, then we all had to converge over to the pastor's house, you know, and sleeping on the floor, and the only bed we had, you know, I gave it to my mother. So there didn't seem to be a feeling of danger.
Well, Lisa, tell us how much other research you did or had to do or felt you had to do for this novel beyond Hilda's stories.
Well, a lot of it is I'm trying to check out a 90-year-old's memory. So I thought, well, I better double-check absolutely everything that she's said that can be checked. And I'm amazed. Hilda has just a phenomenal memory because I couldn't catch her on hardly anything. But I did find out some interesting things that she may not have known, which was kind of fun. But I also wanted to make the American reader understand what the German people were hearing at the time. So I start each chapter out with a piece of propaganda or something they would have heard. And so to kind of put you in the thought of, okay, here's what I'm hearing, so it's not such a foreign concept that this is what's going on.
There was even a story you talked about learning things that shed light perhaps on Hilda's experience. Hilda, I guess there was an experience where there were some American soldiers who were celebrating, but it was unclear at the time why they were celebrating in this town. Am I right about that?
Well, because they, first of all, apparently they didn't have any losses. So they had passed the danger point, and they were more or less becoming occupational.
Right.
But they were still the front troops, and I guess any day that they could move into a village where there was no resistance, they felt good about it. And they were friendly. They didn't do any harm to us except to my aunt's chickens as they were discovering the wine cellar, the communal wine cellar down there, and they tried to taste the wine, or they tasted the wine. Not being used to it, they did practice shooting and using my aunt's chickens as
target practice.
What would you say?
That was target practice, maybe.
The target practice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Lisa, you found out that they may have just learned. I mean, it was fascinating what you found some documentation later,
yes.
Right?
I actually found some documentation on the web where one of the actual soldiers that had been in that tank unit had posted his diary. And they had just found out the day they got into Noviand that they'd gotten the combat duty pay. And so they were going to, or badge, I think they call it. And so they're going to get a raise. And so part of the reason they were so enthusiastic about being in this teeny tiny little town was they had just realized they were going to get their raise.
Going to get a raise. So what else did you learn? What obviously this was, you realized that you had known very little about what it would be like to grow up. What did you learn? And what were some of the big surprises for you?
I think a lot of it was just how kind of gradual things were for the German people, you know? So this is happening, and then the next thing they know, they're at war. Hilda made comments that when they first went, they thought they were an occupation force going into Austria and France because they were just laying down their weapons, so that was okay. And then obviously as the war got on, it got worse. But I think what surprised me the most was the treatment of the German civilians by the Allies afterwards. So there were a lot in the hierarchy of the military of the Allies that thought that the German people should suffer for having allowed Hitler to do all that. And so they kept the Red Cross from sending food supplies in that first year after the war. Germany couldn't raise enough of their own food even before the war, so this was a problem. And they had used most of their fertilizer for bombs, and, you know, a lot of their men had been killed, a lot of their farmers. So, you know, they were all starving. They weren't getting enough food. So that was very eye-opening to me to see the reactions of the international community.
Hilda, you've read the book. What do you think?
I guess it gets a passing grade.
Do you recognize yourself in the book?
Of course I do. And people who know me knew they recognize me.
Yeah.
Right. In spite of having changed the name, everybody so far that I have heard who has read it, they all are very enthusiastic about it.
You're listening to The State of Things. Lisa, I have to ask you this because in light of some of the commentary that we're hearing today and some of the parallels that do seem obvious, the anxieties levels of many Americans, particularly those who have less and less hope of achieving those anxieties now, expressing themselves in all kinds of phobic behavior, and we're seeing in the campaign front today, parallels to what was happening in Nazi Germany. I mean, having done the research on this book, do you see any of those parallels?
You know, it's fascinating to me because I can see the parallels on all sides of the political spectrum, and which, of course, is scary.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, being a political year, I think it's nice to have a novel to read without thinking of those things.
This is your first novel. You've been writing books to help, you know, nonprofits work on their accounting.
Yes.
So this is a big step for you. What was it like for you? I mean, is this a whole different kind of writing for you, or is it?
It's definitely a whole different kind of writing. So it's, you know, that left brain, right brain thing kind of going on there. But it was a lot of fun. So the first part is, even though I was writing accounting books, I was writing them for non-accountants. So I had to be pretty darn creative to make that work. But to then take it into the narrative was a lot of fun. It probably cost more revisions than most novelists have to go through.
What was the biggest learning curve for you, or what did you learn most about writing as a result of doing this book, a novel?
That short and direct and straight to the point doesn't really make for a good novel.
It's kind of great in accounting.
It's great in accounting.
But you want to loop around a little bit.
Yeah, you want to describe the scene a little bit. You know, yeah. In accounting, you don't really want the scene described much.
And in a novel, you really want to allow a reader to come to their own conclusion. And frankly, in accounting, you don't. You want there to be one answer, don't you?
Yeah, well, true. And you also don't want conflict in accounting. And a good novel needs a little conflict.
Lisa London is a writer. Her latest book is called Darker the Night. Thank you, Lisa, for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.
And it is based very much on the story of Hilda Sensale, who is now living in Moorhead City, and she is with us as well. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Just ahead, the crumbling infrastructure of the United States and how it might be fixed. Stay with us on The State of Things.